Now, friends, I want for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. And as you look up at the front here, you will see that we are right now in the midst of talking about the mountains of God. And we noticed a number of them from the Old Testament where God has done amazing things on mountains, such as Mount Ararat, Moriah, Sinai, Mounts Ebal and Gerizim, Mount at Hebron and Mount Carmel. And then in the New Testament, we've begun to see some more mountains where God has been at work. And in the last few weeks, we've talked about that mountain in the wilderness, the Mount of Temptation, where Jesus was tested by the devil. And last week, if you were with us, we talked about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus Christ revealed to three of his disciples his divine radiance. What an experience. Now today, I'd like to walk with you to my most favorite place in all of the world, the Mount of Olives. I'd like to call it the Mount of Christ's Return. And this is not moving forward for me. As you take the next slide, I want you to go to the book of Acts and look with me at chapter 1. And here we find the Mount of Olives mentioned. And Sean, I guess I'm going to have you move it forward because this is not okay. To the next slide. There we are. Good. If you look at verse 12 of Acts 1, you will see that it mentions the Mount of Olives, about the disciples that returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. This is on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. But I want you to see now, beginning with verse 1, this passage of Scripture that builds us up to that Mount of Olives. And Luke is the one who writes the book of Acts. He's written the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, bringing it right up to the time of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into heaven. And now he continues the story in the book of Acts of what happened after all of that. And so I read in verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus. Theophilus was the name of the man he was writing to, and it means lover of God. Theos is God, philos is lover or friend. And so that's a good name. If you ever think of a good name for your kid, maybe you'd like to call him Theophilus, friend or lover of God. But I hope every one of you has that spiritual name. How many of you are friends of God here this morning? Raise your hand. Isn't that wonderful? So this is to all of us. In my former book, says Luke, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, that is, his death on the cross and resurrection, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, here he is on the Mount of Olives saying this to these men. Verse 9, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, these are actually angels, dressed in white, stood beside them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Wow, what an experience. Well, after that, then it says in verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city, and then they gathered in the upper room for the next 10 days while they were awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Now, I'd like for you to just notice with me some things as you get the feel of this Mount of Olives. And this is the Mount of Olives right here. Down in here, and we'll just see here. That's it, yes. And down here is the Kidron Valley. And to the left of us here, or down in that part of the Kidron Valley, is the Garden of Gethsemane. But then notice over here is the Temple Mount. Just outside of the picture to the left of us going west is the Temple Mount. And over here is the hill called Silwan, which is part of that whole mountain area there. But that, by the way, is where King Solomon, when he departed from walking with the Lord, and he foolishly and against God's will married a number of foreign wives, and he put their idols on that hillside. That hillside began to be known then as the Hill of Offense, because it was such an offense to God. But in the midst of all this wickedness and sin, God is still at work. By the way, it's true still today, isn't it? In the midst of all the sin in this world, God is at work. He's at work in your life, in your life, in your life. And he is seeking to find a people who will follow him. Now, as I mentioned, this is my most favorite spot on the face of the planet Earth, right there. Adrian and I, on a number of occasions when we've taken groups here, and we always come to the Mount of Olives and look back this way to the west to see the old city of Jerusalem. And on occasion, we will go back there by ourselves, just the two of us, and sit on the Mount of Olives and read that passage that I just read to you, Acts chapter 1 to 12. And we also like to read Matthew chapter 24 and 25, which is the Olivet Discourse, those two chapters that Jesus taught while sitting up there with his disciples just a couple of days before he was crucified, telling about what was going to happen in the future. Now, yes, it does snow sometimes in Jerusalem. In fact, we're still down here in the Kidron Valley, and this is the Garden of Gethsemane here. And up on the top of that mountain, the hill of the Mount of Olives, is what's called the Dome of the Ascension. Tradition says that this was the exact spot where Jesus ascended into heaven. We don't know for sure that that's the spot, but we do know that it was on the Mount of Olives. Here we are looking at it again, looking at the east. And our group, when we're over there in October, and some of you are going to be with us for that, we're going to stand right over here and just look back this way to see this amazing place called Jerusalem. Why do I say that this is my most favorite place? Because from the Mount of Olives, as you sit there, you just ponder on all the things you can see there from 4,000 years ago, when Abraham first came to this place and met Melchizedek, who then was God's priest in that spot. And then you think about 3,000 years ago, when David became the king of Jerusalem. And then you think about the temple being built, and then about how it was destroyed in 586 B.C., and then how the children of Israel came back from their captivity 70 years later and reestablished worship there again. And then how in Jesus' day that temple, so refurbished by King Herod, a beautiful place, and how Jesus taught on that Temple Mount and often took his disciples to this hillside here just to talk with them. And then you think about how from that spot you can see where Jesus was crucified, and where he rose again. And then you think about how he ascended into heaven from this Temple Mount. You see that little spike right there? That's the steeple of the church, the Russian church of the Ascension. And so this is such an amazing place to be. Now, here's another picture. Now we're up on the Mount of Olives looking westward. This is a Jewish cemetery. The Jews are anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And even though they don't know that Jesus is the Messiah, they're looking for his first coming. But he already came the first time to be the Savior. We who love the Lord are looking forward to his second coming. And he's going to come to this very spot where we're standing right now here. But as you look out over that, you'll see the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount here. And this is one of our trips. This is our granddaughter Kezia and our grandson Jonathan. This is our daughter-in-law Lydia. This is our son-in-law Wes. And we've enjoyed introducing our children to this amazing place. But behind them is the city of Jerusalem. Here was part of a group that, yes, there are camels in that place as well. But from this Mount of Olives, you see so many amazing things that have to do not only with the past, but also with the future. Why do I say that? Because what we just read in verse 11 says, the angel said, this same Jesus who ascended into heaven is going to come back again in the same way. And the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 4 says, and his feet in that day shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Are you excited? Well, I want you to think with me about this place. If you will take in your bulletin, there's an insert, and I hope all of you take notes, because this will help you to understand and remember what we're talking about. But that white sheet, the mountains of God, and especially the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Christ's return, that actually is the final point we want to see. But I want you to see the significance of this place called the Mount of Olives for several reasons, six different reasons why this is so important. First of all, it's the place of weeping. Why do I say that? Well, the first time in the Bible that you find the Mount of Olives is in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30. Chapter 15 it is, not 16. You can make that correction. And David wept here. He cried. Why? Well, as you read that story, he was weeping, first of all, for his own sins, because he had failed God as king. He'd messed up his life. Did you realize that it's possible for people who walk with the Lord and who are in church this Sunday, this week, to mess up your life in one way or another? It could happen to you or to me. Oh, how we need to keep close to the Lord every moment of every day. Even King David, this amazing man, messed up his life. And you remember the story of Bathsheba and David. Now God forgave because he called out for forgiveness, but there are always still consequences that come from messing up your life. So he was weeping. Man, what's he doing? He's running from his son. He's weeping also for his rebellious son. And as you read about that, it says he was climbing up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, going out of the city of Jerusalem eastward to get away from his rebellious son who wanted to take over the kingdom. But I want you to notice that this is also a place of weeping. Jesus wept here. In fact, he wept here twice. We read about it in John chapter 11, verse 35. The village of Bethany was on the eastern slopes of this very Mount of Olives. And you remember Jesus wept in sorrow at Lazarus' death as he stood there at the graveside, as he wept with the family. Now, he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was weeping with those dear ones because they'd lost their dear brother, Lazarus. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, two That is the shortest in the English language. Jesus wept. How many of you can quote that Bible verse with me? Jesus wept. There, now you've memorized a Bible verse. John 11:35. Jesus knew what it was to feel the anguish and the agony of losing a loved one. Some of us here, maybe in recent times even, have had to say goodbye to dear ones, haven't we? I'm looking at some of you right now who know what that means, don't you, David? Jesus weeps along with us as we feel that loss. But there's another thing that Jesus did. He wept here again in sorrow over Israel's rejection of himself. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, we'll take time just to look at this scripture, chapter 19 and verse 41. Jesus is now in the process of entering the city of Jerusalem in that what we call the triumphal entry. If you were here on Palm Sunday, we talked about this passage. But now notice, as he's coming down the Mount of Olives to enter into the city of Jerusalem, here's what he says, verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, listen to this, Jesus wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And that actually happened 40 years after Jesus said that, in 70 AD, when the Roman legions came and surrounded the city and conquered it and destroyed the temple that was sitting there. That all happened according to the prophecy of Jesus. And it says, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And when we are there in October, I will show those who are traveling with us a pile of stones cast down from the old temple way back in 70 AD, and those stones have recently been uncovered way down at the bottom of that Temple Mount. Amazing. Jesus wept. Destruction was coming. May I say this? According to the scriptures, a thorough destruction is going to take place as far as this whole world is concerned. How important it is for us to be doing what Charlene is doing and what every one of us ought to be doing and what our team down in Brazil is doing right now, sharing the gospel with people wherever you are. Because we don't have forever to get right with God. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Are you glad that you've come to Jesus? Oh, how wonderful. But there are people around us who haven't done that yet. And I fear for their future unless they come to the Lord. Now, I want you to go further with me. This Mount of Olives is not only the place of weeping where David wept and where Jesus wept, but it's the place of prayer. You know, Jesus commanded his disciples to pray when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22, for instance, in verse 39, tells us this, pray that you fall not into temptation. This is just the night before Jesus was crucified. In that Garden of Gethsemane that I pointed out to you just a few moments ago, there on the western slopes of the Mount of Olives. And he commanded them to pray. And, of course, as you read further, they didn't pray. They went to sleep. Of course, it was midnight. They were tired. It was a long day. And how easy it is to go to sleep on the job even today in our prayer life. Why are you sleeping, said Jesus. Get up and pray. He encouraged them three times to do that. The place of prayer. Speaking of that, on top of the Mount of Olives is a wonderful church called the Paternoster Church. That's Latin for Our Father. Paternoster, Pater, Father, Noster, Our. Father, Our. The Paternoster Church on the Mount of Olives reminds us of Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the Lord's Prayer. And in this church, you will find the Lord's Prayer in 62 different languages. This picture just shows four of them, 1, 2, 3, 4. But as you walk through the whole church, you'll find in 62 different languages that amazing prayer that the Lord taught us all, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. This is a picture of Jesus, though, praying there at the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Many years ago, this artist, Sebastiano Ricci, painted this. You'll see it in Vienna today. Jesus in prayer. You can hardly see it, but there's a disciple here and here, and they are sound asleep while Jesus is praying. The scripture says that an angel from the Lord came then to encourage and to help Jesus in that great anguish as he was feeling the weight of my sin, your sin, the sins of the world upon him. And he knew that he was going to be in the next few hours on the cross paying the price for our sin. You notice the moon, full moon. And that's because it was at Passover. And at Passover was when it was full moon. So that must have been quite a night. Now, I want you to see that it's also what I'd like to call the place of instruction. On the Mount of Olives, this is where that, what we call the Olivet Discourse takes place. If you'll turn now to Matthew chapters 24 and 25, I will not read it all to you. Adrian and I read it there as we sat on the Mount of Olives looking over the scene that the disciples were seeing when Jesus was teaching them. But notice Matthew, just the first verses of Matthew 24. It says, Jesus was left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down, just as he prophesied, and it came true 40 years later, one generation later. Now look at verse 3. So they were walking east now and down into the Kidron Valley and up to the top of the Mount of Olives. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not ashamed or alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of birth pangs. Is that happening today? Yeah, in increasing measure as we are getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. This is a place of instruction as Jesus was teaching his disciples. And then as it goes on further, it tells us how we're to live, being faithful to the Lord until he comes again. Now, I want you to see a fourth thing about this place called the Mount of Olives. It's the place of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as we studied a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, we read that passage of Scripture from Luke, and we discovered that this was where Jesus came with his disciples and went down the walk into the city of Jerusalem from the top of the Mount of Olives, riding on the donkey. The place of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But a week later, several days later, he was crucified, he rose again, and after that resurrection on Easter Sunday, for another 40 days, Jesus was with his disciples in various places, continuing to teach them as the resurrected Savior. And then he took them to the Mount of Olives. And that's the fifth thing I want you to see, the place of what I like to call the real triumphal entry into heaven from the Mount of Olives as Jesus as he's given them this great commission to share the gospel with the world. And he says, you're going to be my witnesses. We read about that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then while he's talking to them, suddenly he just rises into the skies and a cloud receives him into heaven. Can you imagine the experience that would be from heaven's standpoint? All the angels have wondered for all these years, why did the Son of God leave this beautiful place of heaven to go down there to that nasty place where all those sinners are? Now they've got the message. He went there to be the price for our sin. But he rose again to give life everlasting to all who trust him. And now he is ascending back to heaven. Jesus said it on the cross, it is finished. What did he mean by that? The price of sin had been paid because he was the one perfect and eternal sacrifice. But now as he's ascending into heaven, he is saying, mission accomplished. And that's where he is today. And he is seated today, the Bible says, at the right hand of God the Father. And what's he doing there? He's making intercession for us. He's praying for you by name. He knows your name. He's praying for you. Not only that, but he said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And oh, what a place that's going to be. Heaven. Are you looking forward to it? Three of you. Are you looking forward to heaven?
Yes.
Good. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. So, I like to think about the Mount of Olives as not only the place of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but then later the place of the triumphal entry for Jesus into heaven. And there's one more thing I want you to think with me about. It's the place of Christ's triumphal return. Here's where he's going to come back to. As it said, the angel said, this same Jesus will come back and his feet will stand at that day on the Mount of Olives. Wow. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come back today, we don't know when it is. As he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. But God has it all planned, and he has a day when Jesus shall return. It'd be kind of fun when we're there in October. And you think about that when you stand on the Mount of Olives. When will Jesus come back again? But he is coming. And wherever you are on planet Earth, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're looking. And I want you to come to the Mount of Olives just to sit and think. Do this, even though you may never have the privilege of going to see Israel and Jerusalem in this lifetime. You might want to wait till Jesus comes again. You'll have a free trip. Come to the Mount of Olives just sitting in your own room at home in your chair and just think about, just pretend you're sitting on the Mount of Olives with Jesus and think it was a place to weep. And every one of us maybe say, I've got some things to weep about, things that aren't right in my life, maybe things that aren't right in my home. Maybe some tough things that are happening in my employment. Maybe I've got some problems at school. It's okay to weep. But weep with Jesus, who also wept. And go beyond the weeping and discover that not only does he weep with us, he's able to help us in whatever the challenge may be that we're facing. And it's a place to pray. God has called every one of us to be prayer warriors, to pray without ceasing. That means to be in a continual state of prayer. always recognizing I'm in the presence of God. I'm living my life coram Deo. That means before the face of God. He sees me all the time. And I am in His presence. And I rejoice in that fact. And I know that I can just talk to Him anytime. Have you ever been when you were someplace and said, oh, I wish. I remember when I traveled for many years in evangelistic work, and I was in many very interesting places. And I said, oh, I wish Adrian could be right here to share this experience with me. Well, I've got this good news for you. Wherever you are, Jesus is there. And I want for you to recognize you can talk to Him all the time, anytime. And then not only is it a place to pray, but it's a place to learn. And between now and heaven, this amazing textbook, the Bible, may you use this daily to study more and more and get to know who Jesus really is and to learn His will and His way for your life. And not only that, but it's a place to gaze upward for Christ's return. Every day, it will help you to live that day if you think consciously, Jesus is coming again. You don't have to be sitting on the Mount of Olives to be looking up there. You can be sitting in your own home or in your car, where you're traveling or wherever you are, and just be meditating, Jesus is coming again. And I want to live this day in the light of eternity. As an old song says, with eternity's values in view, Lord. With eternity's values in view, may I live each day's work for you with eternity's values in view. And then also, it's a place to gaze outward to a lost world. Oh my. That's what Jesus said just before He went into heaven. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. First here in Jerusalem, and then in Judea. That's the province in which Jerusalem is. And then Samaria, that's the adjoining province. And then to the ends of the earth. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll see that's exactly what happened. It began in Jerusalem on that very first day when the Holy Spirit, 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 disciples that were in the upper room. They went out into the streets and witnessed, and that very day, 3,000 people opened their hearts to Christ and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And as you read the whole book of Acts, it just gets better and better all along. As the story gets spread out to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And may God help every one of us to have a concern and an outward gaze. Oh, this world needs Jesus so much. And let's share Him with everybody we can. Well, Jerusalem. And right now, sitting on that Temple Mount is a Muslim mosque. And yet, there's coming a day when Jesus will reign from this city. That's the last mountain I'm going to talk to you about next week. Mount Zion, the final mountain that we'll talk about in the Bible. Jesus, when He comes again, is going to reign. And you and I are going to be part of His reigning team. Did you realize that? The Bible says that. We will reign with Him. And oh, what the world's going to be like when that happens. Wow. Look forward to it. Yeah, I was standing up here. I took this picture myself, as you can see. My reason for doing that. Here. This is where I was standing on the Temple Mount, right there, looking through these gates that look eastward. Now, here we are looking eastward. Now, let me get a little closer to that. And right there is that Russian Church of the Ascension. And it reminds me that the same Jesus who ascended into heaven is going to come back in the same way on the Mount of Olives as He ascended into heaven. Are you excited? There's a Bible verse you'll find in Titus 2:13, and I'm so grateful that Eva put it without my even suggesting it to her. But if you look at your bulletin, you'll see right on the front page she put that Bible verse. I'll give it to you here from the King James translation, and I put it into music one time. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I said, well, you can just sing that. I am looking for that blessed hope. I am looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am looking for that blessed hope. And you could sing it with me. My hand to go up or down, whichever way your voice ought to go. Let's do it. Here we are. I am looking for that blessed hope. I am looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am looking for that blessed hope. Amen? Worship team, come and lead us as we conclude. And if you've never personally received this wonderful Jesus as your Savior, today's the day. You can do it today and begin this glorious life anticipating His return.